Nashville, Tennessee, the country music capital of the world, Starday Records presents WSM's Grand Ole Opry star and the pride of Grinder Switch, Cousin Minnie Pearl!
Pleasure to be here. You know, I've been scared every time I've ever come up here to Nashville, Tennessee from Grinder Switch. 22 years ago, I was scared when I come up here. I was scared something would happen to me. Now I'm scared it won't. Most generally, it don't. Now, there was a handsome man out there. Now, don't give me that stuff. There was a handsome man out there. Yes, sir, and I walked a little faster, and he walked a little faster, and I walked a little faster, and he walked a little faster. I'd have caught him if a fire truck hadn't gotten in the way. Now, I turned around, and I said to him, I said, didn't you kind of give me a funny look? He said, lady, you've got a funny look, but I didn't give it to you. Oh, I can't help the way I look. When they passed around looks, I thought they said books, and I said, give me a funny one. I can stand almost anything, though, except the other night a fella said something to me that was real hard to take. He said I looked like I'd washed my face real good and forgot to iron it. That really hurt. Well, I got all excited one night. A fella told me that I looked like a breath of spring, and you know that always sounds good. Well, he didn't use them words. He said, I look like the end of a hard winter. Well, I'll tell you. There's just one thing I've got to say. I ain't two-faced or I'd have wore the other one tonight. I'll do it. But I had everything all straightened out. I was going to bring Uncle Nabob tonight. Bless his old soul. He don't ever get to go nowhere much. Uncle Nabob, he's the finest old fella you ever seen. He don't ever do much. He ain't a failure. He really ain't. He ain't a failure. He just started at the bottom, and he likes it there. You know? Uncle Nabob, he's got a kind of a bad habit of dipping into the corn squeezings, you know. He says he just takes a little nip every once in a while to kind of steady his nerves, you know. He gets pretty steady. Sometimes he don't move at all. The other night, Aunt Ambrosia decided she'd really fix him. And she knowed he's gonna be out late, you know. So she got a one of them false faces like the young'uns wear at Halloween, you know. She didn't really need it, all our family favors. But she got this false face and she put it on and she hid out there by the bushes where she knowed Uncle Nabob was coming by. And sure enough, long about midnight, old Uncle Nabob come a-weaving in there, you know. He wasn't fixing no watches. And he come in there, and he come up by that bush, and she had a sheet all up over and that false face on, and she jumped out at him, and she said, boo, I'm the devil. Uncle Nabob said, well, shake hands with me, I married your sister. Out of the hospital, but Uncle Nabob come up here last summer with me and sister. We was doing a little shopping here in Nashville, and we come up to one of them department stores here, you know, and we come in there, and there was a sales lady was showing sister some clothes, and she says, you see, you have this little dress here, and you take off this little bolero here, and you have a sun suit. And then you take off this little skirt here, this little skirt here, and you have a bathing suit. And Uncle Nabob said, yeah, and you take off anymore, and you got a lawsuit. But Uncle Nabob, we had the best time here a while back. I brought him in here to Nashville with me. We was going to the Grand Ole Opry, and that afternoon, well, Uncle Nabob said he thought he'd go to the picture show. Well, I said, okay, go on to the picture show. But he stayed so long, like he never come out. So I went down there to find out about him, and I went in that theater down there. And I'm telling you the truth, that old man's just sitting there. And I said, Uncle Nabob, how many times have you saw this show? He said, oh, about 3 times. I said, well, what do you look at it so many times for? He said, girl, there's a place in this here movie where there's some girls out there, and they're getting ready to go in swimming. And just as they start to take all of their clothes off, there's a freight train goes through there. He says, I've stayed through here 3 times. I'm still hoping sometime or other that freight train's gonna be late. Come up here a couple of weeks ago. He come up here with me and Aunt Ambrosie, and we was walking down the main road here in Nashville, and this pretty girl went by, and Uncle Nabob kind of rolled his eyes at her, and Aunt Ambrosie jerked him around. She said, what do you mean? You old married man are looking at that pretty girl. Uncle Nabob said, now, just because I'm on a diet don't mean I can't look at the menu. Married is a whole lot like getting in a tub of hot water. After you get used to it, it ain't so hot. He says marriage is a whole lot like a boxing match. Sometimes the preliminaries is better than the main bout. There's a whole lot happening at Grinder's Switch, believe me. I'd love to take all of you down there. Like last 4th of July. Oh, that was the greatest time. I never will forget that. Uncle Nabob and all the fellers was talking about how it would be to get out in outer space, you know. Uncle Nabob was talking about how it'd be, you know, to be way, well, he's about as high as he could get, you know. And he was figuring they got to talking about how it'd be to get off up there with a rocket, you know. And Uncle Nabob, he said, well, he just believed he'd do something about that. So he went down to Simp Sewell's Fireworks. Well, that's his name. Simp Sewell. He went down to Simp Sewell's Fireworks Department. That's right out on the highway there, Highway 100, going to Grinder's Switch. And he got him the biggest rocket he could find. And he brung it back up there at the picnic. And we was all up there. Some of them was picnicking, and I was picnicking. And we got up there, and Uncle Nabob, he tied that rocket onto the back of him, and Brother was going to give the countdown. And so Brother, he got all ready, and he said, 4, 3, 2, 1, and he lit the fuse. There was a blinding roar and a flash. And when the smoke cleared away, Uncle Nabob was drilled 4 feet into the ground. Upside down. You're way ahead of them. Well, you can't do everything right. Last year, along about this time, I had a real exciting time. I went over to Hawaii with Elvis Presley. Elvis is a real good friend of mine, and of course, I'm a little too late for Elvis. I'm about, I'd say I'm about 30 years and 40 pounds too late. But I still look. It don't do no good, but I look. It's kind of like going down to the depot and watching the trains go by. You'll have to hear the whistle even if you ain't going nowhere. Yeah! Well, we went over to Hawaii to do a benefit show over at Pearl Harbor, and we went on a jet airplane. Now, I ride them things, but I don't put my weight down. Boy, you get on one of them jet airplanes, and before you can say you haven't, you have. Don't never start nothing on one of them things you can't finish in a hurry. Just like... Just like Rodley... Rodley Brasfield. Rodley Brasfield, rest his bones. Funniest man ever lived in the world. He used to talk about the first time he ever rid an elevator. Said he got on there, and they jammed the door shut, and he shot right straight up. Fella run the elevator, seen he looked kind of pale. Said, "What's the matter, buddy? Did it scare you?" Rodley said, "No, I always wear my pants down around my ankles." It was real wonderful, everything. They made us feel so at home. In fact, one fella said I was the homeliest girl he ever seen. But, no, they were great, really. But I found out that the ladies over there, they wear these muumuus, you know, these dresses that have a kind of a yoke here, and then they just hang straight down, you know. Them things, and I look like a mama kangaroo with everybody home. My figure's my fortune. I've just got my money invested in the wrong places. I got an hourglass figure, but it's later than you think, you know. Sand has done shifted to the bottom. No time at all, hardly. But we did find out that they have this beautiful Hawaiian music, and they really do, you know. Every day at noon at the hotel where we stayed, they'd have a kind of a Hawaiian Grand Ole Opry, you know. They'd pick them gourds and play them Hawaiian instruments. And these girls would dance the hula dances, you know. You're just supposed to watch their hands. Well, you are. No, you watch their hands. They tell a story with their hands. You know, they got these beautiful movements that they make, and they tell a story with their hands. I stood around there every day. I never did see no fellas watching their hands. Maybe they wasn't expecting no messages. Or maybe they'd already got the message. I don't know. But I found out how they dance the hula, and I've been practicing back at Grinder Switch, where I come from. Yeah. The way I figure it, the way you dance the hula dances, you tie a bunch of hay around your waist and a bunch of oats around your neck, and then you just rotate the crops. That's the way you do it. Rotate the crops. Boy, I'm telling you, I'd never do it. That's kind of the way you do the twist. You know, I'm real interested in how you do the twist. I tried that one night, and I couldn't stand up, sit down, stoop over, or squat. I hit bones in my body I never knowed I had. Where I first seen it, I went out to California to be on the Ernie Ford show, and of course, Ernie's one of my very dearest friends, and I love him. Oh, he's so cute. I wouldn't trade him for a blue-nosed mule. He's the greatest. Well, I went out there, and three of the girls that work on his show got me a date with one of them California fellers. Oh, he was so cute. He was so eligible. He was breathing. Well, they've got to be breathing, or I won't move. Unless he's breathing, that's all I can say. But he was cute, but he was thin as the thinnest fella I ever seen. If he hadn't had Adam's apple, he wouldn't have any shape at all. But everybody's trying to get thin. Did you ever see anything like it? Miss Lizzie Tinkle at Grinder Switch, she's an old maid. She hasn't never been married or anything. To get thin and look young, you know. She's fell off and got so thin they have to starch her underwear to hold her up. She's got an old hound dog, took her out in the backyard and buried her three times. No question. She's got... She's really trying to look young. She's had her face lifted. She went to a plastered surgeon. And, she's... She really trying to look young. But she called up the fire department the other night. We have a fire department at Grinder Switch. We used to have a bucket brigade. Uncle Nabob was head of the bucket brigade. In fact, he's the biggest bucket head ever come out of Grinder Switch. But now they've got a fire engine, and they've got a big sign on it that says, "May this fire engine be like all the old maids at Grinder Switch, always ready and never called for." But Miss... It is a good fire department, sure enough. The other day, Seth Jones's barn caught on fire, and ordinarily it burned out by noon, but the fire department kept it burning all day long. Miss Lizzie, take a note, no! Miss Lizzie Tinkham, she called up the other night, and she said, "Quick, send the fire department. There's a man trying to get in my upstairs window." And the fellow said, "Miss Lizzie, you don't need the fire department. You need the police department." She said, "No, I need the fire department. He needs a longer ladder." Well, I'd like to sing another one. I know another one here, fellas. I'd like to sing one called "How to Catch a Man." Now, when a handsome fella smiles at you, what harm can a little flirting do? And if he steals a kiss, well, don't get sore. Remember, honey, you've got plenty more. How to catch a man, how to catch a man. Girls are always asking me, how do you catch a man? Catch him while you can with a mini pearl plan. Here's a little tip on how to catch a man. Hog time. Tell him this and keep a straight face, hon. Tell him two can live cheap as one. Promise him anything and you will find that after you're married you can change your mind. How to catch a man, how to catch a man. Girls are always asking me, how do you catch a man? Catch him while you can with a mini pearl plan. It's better when they play loud, you can't hear me sing. Here's a little tip on how to catch a man. Get a bear trap.
Once again to the second side of this wonderful presentation by Starday Records of WSM's grand old opera star and the pride of Grinder Switch, Cousin Minnie Pearl.
Howdy!
Howdy!
Oh, I'm just so proud to be here. Well, sir, I'll tell you right now, I come up here today and I thought, well, I know I'm going to look nice because I got this dress just special to come up here. I didn't pay a lot for this dress. In fact, I got it for a bargain. I heard one fellow say I must have got this dress for a ridiculous figure. But I started in out there and there was two nice-looking fellas standing there, and one of them said to the other, and he said, "I believe that's the ugliest woman I ever seen." I'd say, "Yeah, she's ugly, but she might be a pretty good old girl. You know, beauty's only skin deep." And the other one said, "Well, let's skin her." The other one said, "You know, I believe I recognize her. That's that Minnie Pearl. She's been down there at the Grand Ole Opry for 175 years. He said, "She carries on like she's from the country." He said, "I bet she ain't from the country." He said, "I bet she don't know a goose from a gander." I turned around and I said, "Well, at Grinder Switch, we don't worry about that. We just put them all out there together and let them figure it out for themselves." Oh, I believe we've got the happiest old geese and ganders you ever seen. Not a complaint in the bunch. Me and brother, we've got us a brand new chicken flock. The other day, we went over to Seth Jones's hatchery, and he's got a hatchery. He has, sure enough. He's got a hatchery. He's got a dairy, too. And while the speeches were going on last year when they was all trying to get elected for president, I went over there one day and old Steve Jones, he had done wired his barn where his heifers was at. And he had done put a loudspeaker in there and his radio was coming through there and all them speeches was coming through. And I said, well, what'd you do that for? And he said, well, them old heifers just so happy when they hear them political speeches. Look like they don't know one kind of bull from another. But anyway, we went over and we got us a chicken or two. Me and brother, we started that new flock I was telling you about. We got us 50 hens and 50 roosters. I don't want nobody to be a wallflower. That oughtn't happen even to a hen. I've been there. Well, sir, but I thought I'd bring you all the latest news from... Some of you are going to get your heads cracked when you get home, I'll tell you that. I thought I'd get the latest news from Grinder Switch before I come up here tonight. And Lord have mercy, I found out Ms. Austin Tugwell has just had her 16th young'un. Yes, sir, she's had 16 altogether. Well, not altogether either, one, two at a time. But she... I said, well, Ms. Tugwell, you've had so many young'uns. I declare, there must be a lot of excitement. She said, well, I've had so many young'uns. She said she'd run out of names to call her husband. She ain't like Ms. Lim Perkins. Ms. Lim Perkins named her little young'uns Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and Sam. There ain't gonna be no more. But Ms. Tugwell said the other day she was washing one of her little young'uns, and the telephone rung in the next room. She went in there to answer the telephone. She come back, and that little young'un was gone. Couldn't find him no place, and she knowed he's running around in his little birthday suit. And she heard a noise out on the back porch, and she hollered out there, and she said, are you running around out there without your little panties on? And a man's gruff voice said, no, ma'am, I'm a-reading the light meter. She is so embarrassed she couldn't face that feller. She's thinking of switching to gas. And she said one day that a whole bunch of her little young'uns, about 10 or 15 of them, was playing down the back pasture, and one of them paratroopers from up at Fort Camel, you know, where they learn them fellas to bail out of an airplane and land with one of them parachutes. Well, one of them just bailed out and just landed right down where all them little young'uns is playing. Scared them to death. They took off running for the house, and one of them hollered and said, oh, Pappy, come quick. The stork's done took to dropping them full grown. Well, so though I'll tell you right now, I'd love to take all you all down to... I hate to go on with this after I've done this. Take all of you, sure enough, down to Grinder Switch. When you get there, you'll know it. It's the finest town you ever seen. They've got a newspaper down there called the Grinder Switch Gazette, but nobody reads the newspaper to find out who done what. They know that by the party line. They just read the newspaper to find out if they got caught at it. But it's right down here. It's right down here, just 50 miles below here in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's on the NC and St. L. Railroad, and there's a tunnel on there, and it's not a very long tunnel, and they don't turn the lights on when you go through there, and it's dark. Oh, it's wonderful. And one day I was going through there, me and sister was going in, coming in here to Nashville for me to work the Grand Ole Uproar, and we come into that tunnel, and there's a fella right across from me just reached across and grabbed me and kissed me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to bake a cake or cut a watermelon. I ain't never been around much, except that time I went to town, leaned over to tie my shoe, and got caught in a revolving door. I made 300 round trips in that thing before I could get through. Scared Mammy to death. She kept on saying, speak to me, Minnie, speak to me. I did every time I went around. Hidey, Mammy, hidey, Mammy, hidey, Mammy. And he kissed me, and then we got on out on the other side, and he didn't know what to say to me, and I didn't know what to say to him. And pretty soon he said, you know that tunnel back there cost over $1 million? And I said, you know it is worth every cent of it. That was the day, though. Woo! We got on in closer to Nashville and there was a train stopped and it started up again. The fella got on there and he had a handkerchief over the bottom part of his face and had a gun in each hand. He said, I'm going to rob all the men and kiss all the women. And sister jumped up and said, oh, no, you can't do that. I said, sit down, sister, who's robbing this train? Brother went to a party the other night, and he never had went to one of them parties where they played kissing games. Now, I've went to them parties where they play kissing games. Ooh-wee. I went to a party the other night. And there's some old girl, I don't know who she was, she kept on hollering, let's play kissing games, let's play kissing games. She hollered that all during the party. My throat was so sore the next day I couldn't. They drawed a circle in the middle of the floor and a girl would stand in the middle of the circle and a fella would either have to kiss her or pay a fine. I made $11.34. One old boy didn't have no money with him, tried to take it out in trading stamps. And he, they, I seen him. He kissed this little old girl. And she was cute, too. She had an hourglass figure, but she made every second count. And he kissed her. Come on back home next morning. I said, brother, how you like that kissing? He said, it's a subject I don't know much about, but it's going to be my hobby from now on. Lord, I ain't been kissed in so long, I forgot whether it's done but drawing in your breath or blowing it out. They say kissing spreads germs. I sure have spent a lot of healthy evenings in my life. Oh, Rodley used to say, by Ned Buddy, I got me a brand new car. I said, is it a pretty good car, Rodley? And he said, it's got a good pickup. It picked up a blonde and two redheads last night. He said, the first thing I done when I got it, I greased it all over. And I said, why'd you do that, Rodley? He said, so the finance company couldn't get a hold of it. A car, is it, Rodley? He said, well, by Ned Buddy, he'll carry a dozen if they're well acquainted. Oh, me. Well, sir, I tell you, though, every once in a while I go to one of these fancy weddings that they have, you know, I like to go. It's, I personally, you know, it looks like to me it's awful unnecessary, a whole lot of what they go through. But, this last one I went to, it is pretty as here in Nashville. One of them fancy weddings, you know, when they had the bride. Oh, she come down that aisle and she looked so happy. I know she was happy. I know how long she'd been after him. Me and her started about the same time. She outrun me. But she got down there to the, right down there to the preacher, and then that bridegroom, oh, he come in there. He looked so pitiful. You know, they said the bride looked stunning. Well, he just looked stunned. He looked like another clean shirt of doom. That's Henry Cannon's story. Belongs to a friend of mine by the name of Henry R. Cannon. He's the one about the old fella had the birthday. And the next day I said, did you have a nice time? Said, oh, yes. Said, did you get many fine birthday presents? And he said, yes. And I got an awful silly one. I said, what's that? He said, some darn fool give me a pair of monogram pajamas. And I said, well, lots of folks wear monogram pajamas. He said, not me. If a fella don't know who he is by the time he gets ready to go to bed, forget it. I'm going back to that wedding. This wedding, this bride, you know, she looks so sweet and innocent and sweet. And the bridegroom, he come down there and he told her in front of all them folks, and I heard him. He said he's going to give her all the worldly goods he had, and his pappy is sitting by me. He said, oh, there goes Jed Slingshot. And we was coming home from that wedding. And my feller, oh, I'm telling you, I never will forget the first time he kissed me. No fooling. Now, this is for sure. I never will forget the first time he kissed me. We was coming home from meeting one night, and we had a horse and buggy. And we was coming along, and that old horse and buggy, this is a long time ago, and you can't hardly beat courting with that horse and buggy, because that horse knows where he's going. And we was coming along, and we come by the graveyard, and that there's where it liked to happen, right there. We come by that graveyard, and my feller Hezzy, he pulled up that old horse, and he pointed over at that graveyard, and he looked at me, and he said, Minnie Pearl, that there's my name, Minnie Pearl. That's why he called me that. He said, Minnie Pearl, all my kinfolks for years back been buried over in that graveyard. Everybody ever has been kin to me, everybody ever will be kin to me, I reckon, I'll be buried over in that graveyard. I hope someday to see you buried over there, too. I didn't know what to say, him proposing to me like that. And that's when he kissed me. That's when he kissed me. And how it happened was, he started to tell the horse to get up, and just as he started to tell the horse to get up, he went like this. And I got in the way. My head was a harp, and somebody's playing a different tune on every one of them. But I went out to Hollywood, and I went out with this fella, you know. Oh, my goodness, out there where they stay, it's in that twist. Oh, I'm telling you, it was great. Oh, so beautiful, some of the women out there in California. I wish y'all could have went with us and saw some of the dresses they almost had on. Well, some of them really did. You know, they were sort of lacking in what you might call love. Well, there was one girl. She had on one of them strapless evening dresses, you know, and it embarrassed me. I didn't even go swimming last summer because I had a hole in the elbow of my bathing suit. Look good. She had on a kind of a filmy sort of a dress, you know. That's the kind Uncle Nabob calls a Bob Wild dress, you know. Surrounds the property but does not obstruct the view. But she, it really was something. And we had made it up, the three girls that had the dates with other fellas, and me, I had a date with this fella. And we was going to go out and we was going to tell one another the next morning how many times we got kissed the night before, by how many times we said the word morning when we said good morning, you know. And then nobody knew what we was talking about, and it'd be just a secret twixt us girls. Oh, it was so romantical. So the next morning, the first girl come in, and she said, good morning this morning. She got kissed twice, see. And the second girl come in, and she said, good morning this morning, pretty morning this morning. And the third girl, oh, she come in there and she said, good morning this morning, pretty morning this morning, pretty morning in the morning as 'tis this morning, will be a pretty morning in the morning. And then I come in, you know what I said? Howdy! I'd like to sing a song, and I'm going to dedicate it to my feller. And, oh, he's so great, you know. He's got a heart of gold and teeth to match. And I ain't going to get rid of him because I ain't no more where he come from. He worried about me coming up here. He said, some of these days you're going to get off up there at Nashville, and some of them fellas will run off with you. I wish they would. I'd like to sing one. It's for him. It's called That's Good Enough for Me. Oh, that's pretty bad. I was working a date over in Norfolk, Virginia the other night. And we were playing outside, you know. I mean, the show was outside. And I got a bad cold, and I went to the doctor, and he gave me some medicine, and it like killed me. It wasn't the medicine hurt me so bad, it was the directions on the bottle. Said, take it two nights of running and skip a night. Well, it's... My feller ain't the kind that's tall and handsome. He's just as ordinary as can be. He can't sing and he can't dance, but he wears a pair of pants, and that's good enough for me. He's not so good in idle conversation. He never whispers love words to me, but he fills me full of joy. He's a treasure, he's a boy, and that's good enough for me. I'm proud, proud, proud of his muscles. I'm proud he's so tall and so slim. I'm proud, proud, proud of his curly hair. But most of all, I'm proud he's a him. He stands there looking stupid when I squeeze him, and then he starts to blush painfully. He's so bashful, it's